Welcome to the Analog Assault Podcast. Buckle up for some large explosions and some great nerd talk. Let's go!
You're listening to Analog Assault, a video game podcast by Mulehorn Gaming.
What's up, guys, and welcome to episode 7 of Analog Assault Podcast. We have Rad.
Hi. Hi.
We have Crow. Crow. Those hands, dude.
Those hands, man.
And we have a Parabdam.
Hey, it's me.
What's up, guys?
I feel like I'm being made fun of here.
No.
You are being made fun of.
Not at all.
Mimicry is
not at all.
Flattery.
So tonight's episode, guys, we got quite a few things to talk about. We got Xbox Cloud Gaming. We're going to talk a little bit about that. Xbox, we're going to talk about a tweet by BioWare today. We're going to talk about Loki. We're going to talk about video game reviews. We're going to talk about Ghost of Tsushima.
Sushi with a ma at the end.
Dead Space rumors and Scarlet Nexus. So before we do any of that, though, we have to be on the clock, and that's where, you know, you guys tell me what you've been playing, what you've been doing, and you only got 2 minutes, and if you go past it, you're gonna hear this. And you know I love my buzzer, so I'm just waiting for it.
Yes,
so
you do.
So we're gonna start. Can't keep a finger off of it. That's what she said. Yeah. Hey. Anyways, we're gonna start with Primetime. You're on the clock.
Okay, so what I've been doing and what I've been watching is I started Black Summer. It is on Netflix. It's in season 2. It is like a Walking Dead, a little more fast-paced, mixed in with a little bit of elements from the movie Crash, where you're seeing things from different perspectives, different people, it all comes together, and it's crazy. I mean, it focuses really on the what would a human do to save themselves and their own, and the lengths they would go to do it, and basically having no remorse, turning up all feelings just to survive. It's pretty intense. So I've been watching that. Of course, been watching Loki. Such a good show. Game-wise, I'm still working through Mass Effect 3. I'm maybe one-fifth the way through it. I mean, it's just...
Oh my.
It's so beefy. and, you know, I have to do everything in the game, all the things, unlike Mule. And I want to experience the whole thing. Called out. And I got a little taste of Scarlet Nexus recently. I saw some gameplay. I gave the demo a whirl, and I liked it more than I expected. So I'm excited to talk about that. Aside from that, my daughter's just got into painting on mini canvases recently, and she's super excited. We're going to get a website started for her, and just helping her get into that, seeing the passion for her, seeing her exploding, let's go hardcore with painting, has been so awesome recently. And that is about it.
Dude, you had plenty of time. So
what?
You had 25 like 23 seconds, man.
Jeez, so, GG's Thaddeus.
Yeah. Well, you know. Just to save some for later, like I always do.
Yeah.
Oh,
it's gonna be that kind of cast tonight. Here we go. Next up, Scarecrow, you're on the clock. I hit the wrong button.
Okay.
No chance.
Okay. Like, I'm done. No, by the way. Anyway, been playing my regulars. That's what I've been playing. Playing Destiny, little Genshin Impact, working on PSO2 New Genesis. Finally today on that, I hit 1400 battle power. So basically that's like kind of almost near max. Like, I think the max right now is 1440, but like that's like max out every single thing. Like, it's crazy. It's hard. Really enjoying that still. They announced some new content for that'll be coming over out in the next month or so. New class coming out later. Really interesting. Other than that, I've been playing Scarlet Nexus. We'll talk about that more in a bit. But really enjoying that. Did a couple streams of that. And then As far as watching, been watching Loki. And I watched a really goofy but wholesome anime this week, a little short one called If It's For My Daughter, I'd Even Defeat a Demon Lord. So
okay,
that
okay.
is a title.
That's a mouthful. Yeah.
Oh, that's nothing. There are ones that freaking are like the script to a play, how long they can be sometimes.
Yeah.
No joking. They take like 5 minutes to read. But yeah. I'm trying to think if I watched anything else. Not really. Just been working on stream stuff, trying to get some more stuff set up. I'm really enjoying. I got a stream deck recently, so I'm I'm playing with that, learning all that fun stuff.
Yep.
Other than that, nope. That's about it.
Awesome, man. You had 5 seconds to spare. You were close. I was not gonna say any warning because I wanted to hit that buzzer.
Man, I was hoping to keep him going.
So and Rad! Sorry. Go ahead.
Rad!
For those hearing weird noises, it is raining and thundering outside in my house.
I was going to say, it sounded like either a fart or thunder. It's like
did he just let it ring? I mean, you can see it. You can see it kind of behind me. Like, it's raining.
Ah,
over there.
Oh. Yeah. Oh, boy.
Rad!
Oh, boy.
You're on the clock!
Also, Thaddeus, no. That was not me. I see there. So anyway, so what have I been doing? What I've been playing? What have I been watching? I've been watching some sports because, believe it or not, the Tampa Bay Lightning are back in the Stanley Cup final, fighting for their right to party and keep the Stanley Cup here in beautiful Tampa Bay. So that is what I've been doing. Also been watching baseball. The Rays are on a little bit of a skid, but it's still been enjoyable. I did mention last week that my husband and I finished Futurama finally. And I think we're going to move on to Adventure Time, which is just a lovely show that we love. And I've not really seen it all like in order. So, and I know there's not really stories or anything, but there's some plot. So,
there is, I mean, early on, maybe like the first two seasons, there's not a ton, but it does get there.
You give me 5 seconds back because Crow talked for part of my time. So in terms of games that I've been playing, I have been playing Mass Effect Andromeda. I'm hoping to finish that up hopefully in the next couple weeks. It can be a bit of a slog, but I've been enjoying it. And I have been playing Apex Legends a lot. There's a new event this week. I got my cutesy Horizon and Valkyrie banner doodads, so I'm happy about that. It's been really enjoyable. And I played just the normal amount of Destiny, which is just like the one log in, do some raiding, and log out. It's been great. And I think that's all I've been doing.
Right on.
Oh, big news in the Rad House. We got an Xbox Series X. Yes! So we are now the proud owners of that. And I don't want to get buzzed, so I'm stopping.
No, you had 15 seconds plus another five, so...
Oh, true. Well, we got a Series X. It looks great. My husband's very happy and wife of the year, honestly. So
that's awesome.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Guess what? Mule, you're on the clock, baby. Let's go.
I'm on the clock. All right. So what I've been playing is actually a lot of Halo, like a lot of the Master Chief Collection. I got to tell you, man, last night was an absolute blast. We actually had eight guys together and did big team battles, and we were just blowing the crap out of teams, and it was just so much stinking fun. I got to play with our bro Styles that I haven't played with in forever.
Styles, my man.
Nice,
forever.
Nice.
And I got an overkill, but part of my overkill, I had to betray him to get it, and I was like, it was worth it. So he's like, you betrayed me, Mule. I was like, it was worth it. I got an overkill, man. It's good. It's good.
Content, bro.
Yeah. But yeah, that's pretty much, I played a little bit of Apex and a little bit of Warzone, tiny bit of Star Wars, like maybe a couple hours. As far as watching, Loki, of course, and Bad Batch. And I am just more and more impressed with the way Dave Filoni handles the Bad Batch. And I'm just loving it. There's not a moment in it that I felt like I don't really like this. Like even the filler episodes, I feel like there's moments that is just so good. But other than that, I haven't really been watching too much else. I haven't been really playing too much else. We've been like running like chickens with our heads cut off for for our new podcast, Halo Infinite podcast. And so it's been crazy setting up the Discord and all that stuff. So it's been fun with that and getting to meet new bros and, you know, some old bros as well. We got Trax. Trax has been busy with work and I finally got to play with that bro. We hadn't played with Trax in forever. So
been a hot minute.
Hot minute. That's about it for me. So we had, I had 10 seconds. I was good.
Dang, we're getting too good at this. I think we got to cut the time down, man.
We may have to. We may have to make it a minute just to squeeze it in.
We need a challenge.
I know, right? So first topic of the night is going to be Xbox Cloud Gaming. And this is going to be a exclusive Analog Assault Prime Time review. So Prime. Sir, I know you've done it the most. You've done with the cloud stuff more than we have.
Yeah, I started doing it basically when it was just streaming your Xbox to your other devices. Mm-hmm. But when it came out recently with they're doing the full-fledged beta on xCloud where you can play through everyone. No, first it was just Android. Now it's like Android, Windows 10, and iOS can do browser and through their phone. I booted it up at work. I wasn't able to play it because I haven't got a controller set up, but it is a few steps and you're in. It was so stinking smooth. And right now I have it set up on my iPhone 11 with the backbone attachment. And so nice.
That's
see,
legit, dude.
Scarlet Nexus is running right there. It's as smooth as butter.
Smooth as butter.
And I'm loving what Xbox is doing. It's creating an expansion of their ecosystem, you know, to play games you want to play wherever you want to play it, and it just continues to expand upon that. And I'm loving what Xbox is doing. So it's just in beta, but anyone that has Game Pass Ultimate can dive in there and go ham on it and play to their heart's content. I'm probably gonna bring a controller to work tomorrow so I can try it on the browser versus being in my own house doing it. So I mean, they're just making moves. I love what they're doing.
I gotta say,
so it's a 10 in my book so far. A 10.
I tried 10. It out, and I think my only issue was I couldn't get my controller to work with the web browser. But then, it was Snake was like so obvious. He's like, make sure your web browser's allowing you to use your controller, man.
Oh.
I like that you kind of subtweeted a little at Xbox, like, man, it would be real great if I could do this and like my shit worked. Oh, sorry, and my stuff worked.
And it didn't work like, though.
And oh. it was a mule error.
I couldn't find anything in my browser to enable a controller though. So I don't. Maybe I'm just not looking in the right place. But when I did get into it,
you even Windows, bro.
It was fast.
Oh, I miss you so much, Prime.
Yeah, Prime making fun of me. Always fun. But when I got it, I loaded up the Master Chief Edition like through the web browser, and it was fast. Like it was really fast. I was like, wow, this is almost like playing on a PC because it loaded up so fast and it looked good. Like it wasn't choppy. Now I didn't get in and get to play and see if there was any input lag or anything like that. But just from the simple fact of like the ease of click the web browser, open it up with signing into your Xbox and play any game you want that's on Game Pass and boom, you're there, you know?
Easy peasy. I was just like, nice. Lemon squeezy.
I was like, if you travel, this is like the ultimate, like, you just bring your laptop and plug in your controller and you're in a hotel room and you're playing, you know.
No like, more days of lugging your machine to you with you on, you know, hotels and airplanes.
Yeah.
Hoping they have good enough internet to make it work. No.
Yeah.
Good.
You may still have to worry about the internet being good, but you won't have to have the box with you. Yeah. So
true. Yeah. Just limit the box.
Yeah.
Now that I mentioned that.
Let me see that backbone again, Prime. I may have to invest in that. You just put it on your phone
or the backbone.
Whatever. Bro. Never mind.
So does it fit any phone or what is that?
It fits pretty much any iOS phone. Only thing I will say is you probably need to take out your case to make sure it fits in securely.
Because it has a little
$99. It has its own app interface. And if you have iTunes credit or whatever, you can buy games and play it on here as well. There's various iTunes games that are very compatible with these type of controllers. But overall, it makes the iCloud experience very well. It's very fun and very easy to use. There are some thin cases you can put on your iPhone that'll still fit in here, but they offer zero protection. So I just slip mine out of the case, when I play it, it's back in my phone case when I'm done.
Yeah.
So is that particular one only for iPhones?
Yes. And the reason I like it this much is it has a built-in screenshot feature and record feature.
Oh, nice.
And
that's pretty cool. Where is it actually?
Pass-through charging. So I can plug it in and then plug in my lighting adapter out there so I'd lose no power whatsoever.
That one's only... It's only iPhone because it's a lightning cable connection. It's not Bluetooth
They have an Android version coming, but it's not out yet.
Gotcha. Okay.
Coffee Junkie has another one. I forget the name brand of it, but it's very similar setup, very similar design. And
I think Razer might actually do one.
Yeah. It's a Razer. Yeah. What it is.
Okay.
Yeah. So there's a couple out there that are really good for your iPhones and Androids that, make iCloud very, very portable.
Yeah. And Trax in chat said that he bought KOTOR on his phone so he could play it with the backbone.
Nice.
Smart way to do it. So,
I'd say.
Rad or Crow, did y'all get to play with it any, the cloud gaming stuff?
No, I haven't yet. There's something I want to test, maybe. We'll have to see how it works.
Yeah, I haven't, just because I play so little on Xbox. Like, I don't play many games through Xbox anymore, so, like, yeah. I haven't had a need for it. But there are certainly sometimes games that are announced, like, this is coming to Game Pass and only on the cloud. And I think there's one that I remember seeing recently. I don't remember what it is right now. But there's one that I remember seeing recently, like, oh, I would like to play that, but I don't have, like, I don't have cloud. But now I guess we all could have cloud.
Now we can all, yep.
And now we can all cloud together. So that is, maybe, I don't know, like a game that I'd like to play soon is Dishonored 2, and it's like through Xbox Game Pass, which I have on PC. So like, I mean, if the right game was there, then yeah, sure. I'd use it.
Awesome. I want to try it out more because it looks so cool. My biggest thing is does it have input lag? Because if it has input lag, it's kind of going to defeat the purpose of cloud gaming, but when I played it on my phone, the few times I've done it, it's like I don't have any issues on my phone. So I would suspect it would be okay on your PC. But
I just dropped a link in chat. And if you follow that, it takes you straight to the website. And it gives you all a 10%, a $10 iTunes card as well.
10%? I don't see it.
10%.
Yeah, 10%. Drop it in our Discord so I can put it in chat. I think the bot probably stopped it. So.
You stupid bot.
Oop.
We
know you don't like the bots, Prime.
So something else that I wanted to bring up is something I've been seeing just kind of like all over social media. And that's the fact that Xbox is, you know, buying up all these studios, right? It's buying up all these studios and it's getting there's that link for you guys in chat now. But they're getting some heat. Xbox is getting some heat. And I was looking through comments on Twitter and Facebook and stuff like that from posts about kind of some of the deals that Xbox is making. And it's weird, man. It's like I'm seeing so many people that are upset that Xbox is finally buying studios for exclusives. Right. And it's like some of the things that I'm seeing is, they just care about it now because they want to be a monopoly. I'm like, what? This is kind of my
soapbox. What has Sony been doing for the last 20 years?
Dude. Right. Like,
I'm like, how are they being a monopoly by buying IPs?
It's because they're PlayStation fans and they're mad that they're not the only ones getting exclusives.
That's a bunch of, I can't curse. That's a bunch of bull honky because they have that whole PlayStation's whole shtick is exclusive. So they can go blow it out their butts. But I do think that I don't even think it's only PlayStation people. I think that I said this on a podcast I was on a couple nights ago. I think that people just like to have something to complain about and that most people, and I've mentioned this podcast before, I think most people don't realize that gaming is a business or like they realize it, but they don't actually realize what that means.
Yeah.
And they're not monopolizing, but like buying companies and being the prettier platform, if you will, to companies so that they'll do business with you and make you more money is the whole point. And so people don't realize that. And therefore they're like, oh no, Microsoft can't make their own games. So they have to buy these studios. Oh well, we were playing the games anyway.
Right.
Well, isn't so that now, what Sony like, yeah. does? They buy studios so they can make the games. Like it's like
right now, Microsoft's making the games. I don't understand.
Kind of the way it is. You need to go from Xbox has no games to oh no, you're a monopoly. Well, which one is it, bro?
Well, right. It's just kind of funny to me because I'm in no way saying that I'm like I prefer Xbox over PlayStation, but I like both of them to be strong because it helps the gaming community. But it's just kind of funny as I watch that and some of the comments, I'm just like, man, like why is there always something to complain about? Like you should be happy that Sony is doing so well with their exclusive. And now Xbox is stepping up their game because that just means we'll get better single player games. That means we'll get better games. Like
competition always makes things better on both sides.
Yeah.
That's just a simple fact.
Yeah,
but people don't know that, or they know that, but they don't think that it applies to gaming.
Yeah,
for whatever reason, and you know, like it is what it is. You know, a very basic way that I can just illustrate this is you take something like Fortnite, that was like really the boom of battle royale games, and then you know, like Apex popped up, and Apex had the respawn beacons. Wouldn't you know it? Like a couple months after Apex launched, Fortnite was like, "We have respawn cards now, respawn buses, whatever the heck they're called." Because it's competition. You gotta make people want you, you know. And that's what's happening. And I don't mean to sound frustrated about the topic. I'm not frustrated with the topic. I'm just frustrated with people, just like not understanding. It's not a insult to you that Microsoft bought Bethesda. It's business.
Yep.
Yeah,
totally.
Now Starfield is going to be a Game Pass day one Microsoft exclusive, and people are going to cry about it. And Xbox is going to be like, "Well, didn't you want us to do that?"
Yeah,
we now made
buy
this
an
game.
Xbox. Yeah,
yeah.
You tell everyone to buy a PlayStation for Horizon. So there you go.
Is this not what you wanted? Are you not entertained?
Yeah, exactly. One last thing here before we move on to Loki. There was a tweet by BioWare about Dragon Age and Mass Effect because, you know, EA Play is coming out the end of July. And so a lot of people were expecting to maybe see a sneak peek of something. And basically their tweet, I'm going to read it for you, said, "We're hard at work creating the next Dragon Age and Mass Effect games and have some exciting stuff coming to SOTOR this year. While we won't be showing anything at EA Play Live, be sure to check out our SOTOR blah, 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 blah." So a lot of people were kind of sad, and some of the people that I think the more seasoned gamers, I guess you could say, were like, "Hey, take all the time you need. I mean, we want to see stuff, but you know, if you don't want to show anything yet, that's cool." But part of me also kind of feels a little like I wanted a little more, you know?
Yeah.
And I know most of us are or at least BioWare fans. So what do you guys, what's your thoughts on this?
I'm fine. Like, we're not going to get Mass Effect until 2025, maybe, like 2026.
2030.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah. And I think that, especially with Mass Effect, they have to be, I could go on for an hour about this and I'll try and keep it succinct, but they have to be so careful with what they do with Mass Effect. And I know that we all think we know. I think that the trailer it will point us in the direction of what they're going to do. I don't think it's exactly what we think it's going to be. I don't think it's going to be like a game happening right after Shepard dies. That's not what the game's going to be. I think they want us to think that, and I don't think that's what it's going to be. But they have to be so careful with the way that they do Mass Effect that there is no point in telling what it is that they're going to do. There's no point in rushing it. Mm-hmm. There is absolutely no point, because if they cannot produce this game the way that they think, or excuse me, the way that they need to, Mass Effect will be done. You know what I mean? They need to finish the Andromeda story. It's a fine story, and if they don't do Mass Effect right, they're never going to.
Yeah,
it's going to fail. But then, you know, and Dragon Age, I think we've gotten a lot from Dragon Age, but they definitely were very careful in saying like, "We're not really quite ready yet, but it's definitely next." So I think that they're being very smart and just being like, "Just have to wait."
Yeah, just I'll definitely take that. I'll take the subtle drops here and there. You know, don't have to give me any screenshots or information. When you're ready to show that, and it's not going to lead people down some crazy rabbit holes that are going to make the community just go nuts, then fine, take your time. But when you have a clear picture, drop a nugget here and there. Yeah. But I don't expect huge chunks like, I need a reveal trailer now. No. Take your time. This is a big gem for a huge fan base. Like Brad, you said, they've got to get it right.
They have to.
If it's going to sustain.
I mean, they're following Dragon Age Inquisition, which won Game of the Year, and then they're following Andromeda, which was not received well. So
right. And that's the thing. And I think that, too, with something like Starfield coming out, I think that there's benefit in them staying quiet, seeing what Starfield is, seeing how Starfield is received. Now, Mass Effect doesn't have to be the same as Starfield, nor should it, but Starfield is probably their best, like, competition.
Comparison, yeah.
And if they want to continue to be the king of the space drama, they need to see what Starfield does, see how it's received, see what the criticisms are, and utilize that in forming BioWare's version of the space drama and continuing the Mass Effect legacy, which they can if they do it right.
Yeah.
Get it right.
I have a lot to say on the topic. I may or may not be formulating a way to share all my thoughts, but that's a very top secret project that I may or may not be working on.
Secrets.
Yeah. Real quick, Loki, what'd you guys think? I mean, we're going full spoilers. We got to.
Full spoilers.
I mean, I knew when they walked in that room with the timekeepers, like, here it comes. Here's the reveal that this is a bunch of malarkey. And sure enough, it was. But I'll save this for more discussion. The mid credits. Holy crap.
Yeah, I was
did not see that coming.
I forgot to watch it yesterday. So I watched it today. As soon as I got home, I was like, oh, I forgot about this. I need to watch it.
Yes.
And like, at the end of every episode, I'm like, I run my mouse through the credits just to make sure I don't see like an after or mid credit thing. Like, exactly. Okay.
Yep.
And then I saw it and I'm like, oh wait, what? Okay. Go back. Don't look at anything else.
Yeah. And I have to agree go ahead, Crow. Did you have more?
No, go ahead.
I have to agree with Ace. I think Loki is the best series so far that's come out for Marvel. I enjoyed WandaVision and I enjoyed, Falcon and Winter Soldier, but this one just feels like a different level, man. It feels almost like a film, you know, and there's a lot of mystery to it. And I love that. I love that. Like, oh man, I want to see what's going to, because that was like when Loki got like disintegrated, I was like, what?
Yeah. I was like, what? Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
I was thinking, are they going to take it with the Lady Loki now? With what's her name again? It starts with an S.
I know what you're talking. I can't remember her name.
Yeah, I was like, are they just going to take her as the lead now? But my wheels were spinning until I saw the after.
Yep. Did you notice one of the Lokis had like Mjolnir? It looked like.
It's his version of the Mjolnir.
Yeah, it's like, what the heck, man?
You have the classic Loki that was Kirby's version of Loki back in the early days, classic comics.
Yeah.
And then you had the kid Loki, which is kind of past couple of years of some Infinity Saga thing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Then the other Loki, which is basically kind of pretending something to do with trying to be like Thor. And then the crocodile Loki, I have no idea. I couldn't find
the crocodile like Loki, I believe, comes from the same universe as the spider pig.
So this may be their take on the alternate universe comedic version.
That's interesting.
Interesting.
That's my guess. Just as soon as I saw that, I was like, that's probably from that universe, because it's like everyone in that universe is anthropomorphic animals that have all the powers of everything.
How about the Brad. Event they created when Loki was staring deeply into Loki's eyes?
I feel
a little weird, but
it felt weird, but it felt right for Loki.
It makes sense.
Yeah,
it makes sense.
I mean, it was
Loki
good, but
fall in love with Loki
because he's such.
It was dumb that would actually create a Nexus event.
I mean,
it's sure there's a little cheese in there, but it makes sense.
Yeah, it's like
wow, because his heart grew two sizes bigger.
No, I think it's because
they can find him.
I think it's because it's other variants that are the same as him, wanting to work together in unison. And he's like an overdrive with that particular way. And because like all the other Lokis, when he's dead, right, and he sees them, he's like, am I dead? And he's like, not yet. Not if we don't hurry. I think all of them together can create a Nexus event that's so strong that it just like breaks the timeline they're trying to keep.
I've heard a theory, though, that apparently there is a master variant Loki that is controlling the whole thing. And these are the other Lokis that are rejected.
Dude,
I've heard that a few times.
Like his with the timekeepers, like kind of his bud, or what? Is,
you know, puppet mastering the timekeepers.
Yeah,
interesting.
Since they're not really timekeepers.
Yeah, it kind of blew my theory that I had. Like, I hadn't talked about the theory of how they were going to get off the planet, but like I was thinking last week, I was like, you know what? What if Loki just like he just reached out and called Heimdall?
Yeah. But
then I was like,
I was thinking about that too.
I don't know when they are, like when they are.
I think they're past when the
timeline.
Yeah.
I think they're like past that planet that blows up. Like, when did that happen? Because they're obviously skipping around in time. Is that before Ragnarok?
Yeah.
Or after? I guess we would have to, like, I think it says when it is in the earlier episode, what time it is. So you'd have to like look through that and then figure out what year.
This is all got to fit with like the quantum realm. I feel like it's all got to fit in with that, because when you disintegrate Loki, he doesn't die. He goes like, he's not really disintegrated. His atoms were just rearranged somewhere else. Right. Like, I think there's got to be, because I saw this theory that this is all happening in the quantum realm, because there's a part in Ant-Man and Wasp. When he's flying through the quantum realm, you see like a
An actual. I've seen that too, but then I've heard it debugged.
Yeah. I don't know. It's just like, and Rad over here, she's like, I haven't even seen this.
He's like the most, Kane the Conqueror, like the most evil time traveler villain. So there's a lot of people saying that Kane the Conqueror is somehow connected, and he's already been slated to be a villain in the future. So,
yeah.
Maybe.
Is this Kane the Conqueror's like introduction to the MCU?
Well, I'm just curious how it's going to fit in with like with WandaVision and Doctor Strange, because like all this is going to fit in somehow. Yeah, and we may finally get to see Doctor Strange take on Loki. Like, it was great when we got to see him. What was it in Infinity War? When he's like, okay, bye bye. And he's like, I've been falling for 30 minutes. You know, it's like, I love that part, you know. But
Loki's still no match for Doctor Strange by any feat.
Oh yeah, I mean, he almost took on Thanos with the Infinity Gauntlet, like by himself. Like,
well, yeah, that's when he got brave and redeemed himself.
Yeah, but it's going to be interesting either way. So, Rad, you have a topic you also want to talk about here.
Let's do it, Rad.
Oh, right.
Oh,
okay.
Oh, hey, Rad, how's it going?
Hey.
Did you watch Loki?
Oh, you're still here?
There's a show called Loki? No, I'm just, you guys know me. I don't watch as much TV anymore, so it is what it is. But I'm glad that y'all are enjoying it. That's what's important to me, truly. So, yeah, so I wrote a topic down, just something that over the last week or so, I've kind of, I was on another podcast, and they were talking about Dark Alliance, and this kind of came up, and I thought it was interesting, especially because here on the cast... in Mulehorn Gaming, some of us write reviews, and the topic was the importance of making sure that reviews are written correctly and well. And one of the things that I heard recently, and it was about Dark Alliance, which I know that you guys are playing, was that one of the reviews from IGN, which... IGN is IGN, was written by someone who was kind of reviewing it like it was an open world RPG. And that's how they were reviewing it, was that it was like an open world RPG. And the podcast that I was on, one of the guys was saying that that's when you're a reviewer for IGN, and I'm not taking away from reviewers from Mulehorn, because I'm a reviewer from Mulehorn, but we're not IGN. When you're a reviewer for IGN, you need to have a responsibility to make sure that you're providing correct information so people can make what's called an informed choice about the game that they are potentially wanting to purchase. So, you know, I think back to when I wrote a review on Cyberpunk, which in my opinion of the games that I've reviewed, was probably the most controversial game. I wrote a review for Ghost of Tsushima, and it was very easy to be like, Ghost of Tsushima is one of the greatest games I've ever played. And I don't think anybody would think twice about it because it was such, there was very little controversy when it came out. But I think about, and I go back to my Cyberpunk review, and you know, I say to myself, did I report on the game in a way that is like not biased to the best of my ability? Now, obviously, there's things I like about gaming that are going to influence my reviews, like world building and characters and stuff like that. But I think that there has to be a way to make sure that reviewing games is as serious as the way that we treat other forms of journalism.
Or at least if you have a bias, let them know.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. I fully agree with that. And I might have even, I've said certainly many times on this podcast, and my friends who know me within the gaming sphere know that I'm a big character lady. I love characters. I get very invested in characters. I spent $115 on a statue of Liara Tassoni because I get very invested in characters. So when I write my reviews, I'm going to say like, hey, the character part is going to be something that I'm going to talk about a lot, whatever, whatever. But one of the things that I heard on this other podcast that I was on, and it was I can't even think of what it's called right now, which is really bad, and I'm not doing them any justice. Thank you for having me on. someone said that they should start to have certifications or, you know, similar to like you go to school to become a journalist and so that you become, you know, you're a professional in that area to be writing and reporting on sports or politics or whatever. The one with those other two girls, right? Yeah, the one with the two girls in the face and the with the guys in the hat. Yeah, it was that one. They had mouths.
Wait, they had mouths?
They had mouths and eyeballs. It was the one on Fridays with the Magnificent Seven. I forgot what it's called. I'm really bad at this. I think it's the Ultimate Xbox something. Do they have Liara tentacles only on her head? What this guy said was that they should get certifications. And I'm just wondering what you guys think of that as both, you know, for those of us who have written reviews, for those of us who have edited reviews that our writers have written, and for those of us who utilize reviews to make decisions on games. Just like what your thoughts were on the importance of valid reviews.
Noobs and pros.
No, it's not noobs and pros.
Okay.
So, I'll look it up. Oh, this is bothering everybody now. That's what you're hanging on. The whole point was the great topic that I brought up.
As far as like requiring some sort of certification or anything, I don't know if like requiring, but definitely if there was some sort of like, because we have like sports journalism. I'm pretty sure that's a degree you can get in. Like, there's a bunch of different journalism degrees. You can get into that kind of stuff. Yeah, the gaming industry is big enough. You could have a gaming journalism type thing like that, and I don't see any problem in having something like that. Now, do I think every single person should? Not necessarily. Some people do great jobs without ever getting a degree.
Yeah, good point.
In my previous field that I used to work in, a lot of the younger generations, yes, had degrees, but a lot of the older generations that I worked with, some of those guys just like walked into a factory and like got a job and just worked their way up.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you can learn the trade just by doing it.
Doing it, yep.
Yeah, doing it and doing it. Yep.
So, yes, I agree. I think that there should be something that can help, sure. But I don't think it should be mandatory.
Sure. And that's, yeah, I mean, that's fine. But I think when you,
I'm not again, saying you're saying that there should be a mandatory.
Yeah, no, for sure. Yeah, no, no, no. But I think that when you're when you are a writer who is an IGN certainly is being paid to provide good information to prospective buyers, and you're right, and you're reviewing it as though it's a single player open world RPG. You're obviously not educated enough to be writing a review on a video game, because you're not even writing, you're not comparing it to the genre that
it is. And again, that's not just on the writer. That could have been also information that they were given about. Maybe they have categories that they put things into. Like somehow this one slipped and got into the open world RPG category. And if they someone else messed
up. Due diligence research.
I'm gonna put that on the writer. Like if
majority,
I
yes, but I could still see something like that.
If I'm gonna start to write a thing about Cyberpunk, and I say like this is a terrible platformer, a terrible platforming game.
What are you talking about? It has the best double jump in the world.
And I write this whole article on it. Like that's on me. I did not do my research as a writer or anything to be able to provide a good feedback. So yeah,
I can agree with that. I kind of like what Coffee said, you know, he doesn't think certifications should be required, but there should be some kind of review methodology, kind of somewhat of a, not a standard, but sort of a standard where you do your due diligence, you do your research, and you can prove that you can review at a certain level. Like if you want to go IGN level, you better be able to produce some great content consistently. If you're some no name or coming up or some mid whatever, you're working your way up, you're doing your thing. Yeah, you're not ready for IGN or whatever, but maybe you are, but you need to prove yourself. Some kind of standard should be there, because we've seen too much of these reviews like you're talking about.
Yeah, it's very frustrating.
And Variety.
Ugh. And that's why I don't normally even look at their stuff before I buy something. I a lot more times go to the YouTube like before buy. I forget what the exact thing is called, but it's like
things you should know
before you buy. And they've always got like this guy with like his hands up,
the face like of this, whatever like, you're playing.
Yeah, and then whatever the character is for that game. Yeah. And they're decent reviews. There's some other ones that I'll check out, or I'll just talk with people that I know.
Yeah, that's just maybe this is a bigger conversation than you know just a few minute topic, but it was just something that I've been thinking about since I heard it, and especially because we write reviews, you know.
Yeah.
So it's like, are we Mulehorn Gaming providing you know the best content we can provide so people can make an educated decision on if they want to play Cyberpunk or not?
I have a few thoughts on this. We move on.
Let's hear it, Mule.
Let's say this. I'm going to get real close to the mic.
Let's get it going. So let's get close to the mic, baby.
Let's get a little up in there.
As someone who has tried to get into the gaming media, the media business for 6 years now, trying to break in, break through that big dog media bubble, right?
Okay.
This is why you need to support smaller outlets like us. One, because a majority of smaller outlets like us are mostly pure gamers. That's how we started, because it's a passion. Yeah. We love it. This is what we do every day. And the problem with the bigger outlets like this is you get writers that are just writers. They're not necessarily always gamers. They're under a time crunch because they have to be first, right? You got to get the review out first. And half of them probably have never played very many video games. So they don't even know what the hell to look for in a video game. But they know they're good at writing. They know they can get a job that probably doesn't pay them that well. And they got to hash out at least 5 or 6 different articles in a day to make sure they can make ends meet. And, you know, because the way writers are paid in the industry like this.
And there's only two big groups that I will actually like listen to and actually pay attention to what they have to say. And that's kind of weird ones. Rooster Teeth. Those guys are great. Those are gamers through and through. And then the Giant Bomb guys.
Yeah. So I'll say it one more time. Sometimes
the Giant Bomb guys are not the best, but they're definitely...
My favorite outlet for news, BjornGaming.com.
I'm just going to say it one more time, and I'm going to say it louder for the people in the back. Support your small media guys. If you want to get... Yes,
your guys and non-binary pals.
Guys is plural for everyone. Yeah.
Dude.
Oh my gosh, friend. But seriously, whether it's MuleHornGaming.com or whoever it is, find outlets like that, because the people that are doing this usually aren't getting paid. Like, none of us at Mulehorn Gaming get paid. All the money we make goes right back into the brand, and we do it because we're passionate about it. Like, we could be doing other things, but we're passionate about it. So if you have extra dollars to spend, go found an outlet like that and support those guys, because I think that's the only way we're going to change the gaming media, or we're going to continue to get IGN stuff that you're just like, did this guy even like ever touch a controller? Like, I listen to some of their podcasts and I'm like, do these guys even ever play video games? Like, what are they doing? Like, I don't know. Mm-hmm. That's my soapbox. Sorry.
I mean, my whole topic was a soapbox, but I think that the soapbox has been opened, discussed, utilized for cleaning, and we're going to move over to Prime, talking about
Prime time
stuff. Back to Prime.
Oh, we're gonna Tsushima. Start
with Prime and end with Prime. Oh, I'll probably join in for Ghost of Tsushima.
The expansion is coming, single player campaign. It's time to defend another island, apparently the one that was invaded as well. I'm looking forward to new content. I'm looking forward to slashing and arrowing and starring and blowing up some more baddies in this beautiful landscape. The only thing that's a little bit like, okay, that's odd, is the PlayStation price point on it. It on some level makes sense. On other levels, you're like, if you're used to Xbox, you're like, this doesn't look right. So you have the PS4 director's, or the overall is called the Ghost of Tsushima Director's Cut. If you already have PS4, already own it, it's a $19.99 extension price for you. If it's PS4 to PS5, it is $9.99. And if it is PS4 original to PS5, it's $29.99 total. So basically... The base extension is $20, but if you want to go to next gen, it's an additional $10. But I'm probably going to wait. So
let me make sure I'm on the right page. If you already own it on PS4 and you just want the base game upgrade for PS5, it's $9.99. But if you want the base game plus the DLC, it's $19.99.
Yes. I read that right.
I believe so. But this, the director's cut is with the new content? Because that's what this is all about, is the director's cut.
Sorry, the director's cut does have new content. I should have said on that middle one, if it's director's cut, director's cut on PS4, you're moving the director's cut to PS5, it's $10. That's a $10 one.
Okay.
Either way, you're going to pay, if you want it on PS4 only, already have the game, it's $20. If it's base game only, you want to move the whole thing to PS5, it's $30. Or you can buy the whole director's cut. I didn't even look to see what the original director's cut is if you don't own the game at all. I didn't even see that about that. I think it's... I'm not quite sure.
It's probably...
That game is phenomenal. Price. I mean, phenomenal.
Ghost of Tsushima?
But either way,
yeah.
Price phenomenal. Aside, I loved, like Rad said, and she reviewed about it as well, and we all said the game's phenomenal. It's one of the better open worlds out there that I've played, and it's in my top five
in years.
And I'm looking forward to really trying some new content. They've on the PS5 version, they've added a few extra things. They refined some of the lip syncing, and they added a few more minor features. Nothing that's like, you know, hey, we're getting screwed on PS4, but it's for improvements that you don't get on PS4.
Now. So, did they say, are you, so I'm looking at the graphic here and it says the Iki Island expansion. Is that something that can be purchased without getting the director's cut? That seems odd to me that they wouldn't do it that way.
I don't know.
I guess we'll have to find out.
Yeah.
I can't read. I'm like an old lady and I can't. Oh, in-game items unlocked. I'm just kind of looking. It just seems strange to me. So full game PS5 version features. So they're really selling the PS5 version. Because like I said, it shows that the director's cut. Yeah, but I would be surprised if they don't sell the DLC by itself. What if you don't want the director's cut? You can't play the DLC?
I'm sure it'll be separate. Like they
$30 is basically the DLC that includes it. Must be some other stuff to go along with it. Either you keep the base, if you want the extension, you're converting your game to the director's cut.
Fair enough. Okay. I mean, like, that's fine. I'm just, you know, that's one of those things where I say, like, what if I don't want the director's cut and I just want the other content? But I guess if I want the content, I have to get the director's cut.
I'm reading here, too. Like, they're going to actually, this is so dumb. This sounds just like PlayStation. They're going, even if you buy the director's cut on PlayStation 4, it says PlayStation 5 will be able to experience, like, content that other players won't be able to. So it reads like almost like they're gatekeeping content from PS4 owners. Unless you upgrade to PS5, you don't get some of these extras.
I'm sure that they are doing that. Yeah.
Dumb.
And it could be PS4 limitation stuff too.
It could be. I mean, that's fair. I don't, maybe like the PS4 just can't handle it.
Yeah.
That makes me nervous for Horizon Forbidden West, but we'll cross that bridge when we get there.
Yeah, right.
Yes. But yeah, so I'll be interested to see though if the DLC, like maybe they're just announcing the director's cut and maybe like, oh, you can also buy the DLC separate at another time. We'll see.
Yeah.
If they did, they really didn't specify it, but it would make sense. I would think they
do it separate. Yeah, you can just buy the full thing, director's cut, or you can just buy the DLC.
Yeah, we'll see.
And speaking of new additions, the rumor mill for Dead Space is really amping up. There was a tweet out recently about rumors of Dead Space. It's going to be a full remake instead of a remaster. And there's been a couple of sources that have been talking about it. VentureBeat mentions that Capcom's success with Resident Evil 2 remake is an example of what EA is going to do. And their Twitter handle avatar has been changed. Their YouTube avatar has been changed. So I was completely under the impression, like, it's never going to happen. But apparently something is happening that's leading to people really talking about it.
Hey, I'm Xbox friends with a BioWare dev, and I saw, I'm not going to say who, but I saw them playing the game on Xbox. And I was like, are they prepping for something or is something here? I wonder if they're prepping.
They were playing one of the current ones.
They're playing, yeah, Dead Space. And I was just like, I wonder if they're prepping to do some like tests or something and say, okay, here's what it's like in the old game. Here's what it's like in the new game. Anyways, I'm not going to say who it was. You know, I don't know.
Maybe not. It's very coincidental because I've seen a lot of people, like a lot of Dead Space fans, been going back and replaying them right now on streams and stuff. So who knows?
It's interesting.
We'll see.
What heckin' is?
Well,
Prime Time? Well,
games are out. Yeah. I'm going to start it off, but I'm going to let Crow talk about it because he's played more than I have. Scarlet Nexus, holy crap.
Take a look at it too.
I saw the gameplay for it. I was like, you know what? This looks pretty cool. It's not ultra anime-y, and I'm kind of like, I'm kind of in there a little bit. I'm not full-fledged, you know. My Hero Academia is probably the furthest I've got as far as like full-fledged anime watching. Anything beyond that where it gets too drawn out, I'm like, I can't handle this. But I played both characters, intro story, and I had way more fun than I expected.
Yeah.
And nice. It was like fluid gameplay, these telekinetic combos, the team matchups where you can basically borrow their power to create more dramatic effects with your own power, combos that kind of remind me of Mass Effect in a way, but just And then you have your animated cutscenes where they really go ham on your enemies, and it Dude, was just
finishing moves.
I mean, mm-hmm. I had a lot of fun, and I kind of wanted this fired up again after this and play said demo all over again, because I'm not really looking to drop a full price game at the moment. But let me say it was a very big surprise for me, and I'm looking forward to playing it someday for sure.
Bro.
Yeah, so I was 100% sure if I was going to pick this game up, but then I'd seen a bit of gameplay and a bit of the demo. I was like, you know what? I have not played a single player in a while. I'm going to make this my single player for the next few months or whatever, one that I play for this part of the year. And so far, I'm really enjoying it. Very different. It reminds me quite a bit of another Bandai Namco game that I played, which was Sword Art Online Fatal Bullet. A few of people in our community have played that game. It's very their style, in where you go on, do some missions and stuff, and then you have kind of extensive, like, dialogue cutscenes. But this one's definitely interesting in the way that they make it like you're looking at almost like a comic book panels.
Yeah.
Yep. It'll, like, flip around, but they're not completely just stills. It's actually, like, the full characters rendered and everything. And then they'll, like, when a certain character will talk, their face will pop up in a separate screen. They'll be talking. And it's just, it's interesting. And now that I've gotten into the story that I have, with no spoilers, in case no. Thaddeus actually does play it, though, the whole, like, panels make more sense.
Mm-hmm.
In the sense of they've mentioned the red strings.
I was getting curious about that. I was getting real curious about that.
So they went, as far as anime plots, they went full anime plot. it went early. I was like, wait, I've just been playing the main campaign and then doing what they call these, like, little bonding quests, which is like you're doing stuff with your teammates, going out on, like, a more or less a date or something, or going out on a mission just with them. And but support also they released, there is an actual anime itself that is coinciding with the game. Okay. Now I don't know how well, like, the stories sync up, but they have released the first two episodes, I believe, and they're it's a Funimation exclusive, but they're actually available on the Funimation YouTube channel. So if you don't have a Funimation account, you can just watch them there.
Bro, question for it. Have you ever played Code Vein?
Yes, I have.
People
I didn't
are saying
finish it.
That Code Vein was very similar to this. Or
they Code Vein was just anime Dark Souls. It was a Dark Souls game.
Not for me.
Combat and everything, but it was anime styled.
Gotcha. Okay.
As far I could see, like, as far as, like, storytelling wise, pretty similar. But gameplay wise, no, it's a full on, like, Dark Souls with waifus.
Well, cool, man. I look forward to playing this game more, whether it's sooner or later. I'm probably going to
put
this game.
Yeah.
It's once you start fighting, I watched a video of how people are really using these combos more than I was. I'm like, holy crap, I could have done so much more. And it looks so much more amazing. Yeah.
It took me a bit to get into it just because I've been playing so much New Genesis, and that is like the peak of fluidness. And this controls very similar, but it's a little less. And it could be because I'm playing it on PC with a controller. So, mm-hmm. And they say on Steam, it's like not full controller support. So I'm thinking maybe it's like the way inputs work aren't optimized for controller.
That makes sense.
But it still works pretty good. Awesome. I figured it out. It just took adjusting.
Right on.
I'm not enjoying that. I'm going to be playing that, and potentially I might be writing a review for it.
Oh, snap.
Snap.
NoHornGaming.com.
If I can get it done.
Crow review.
The Crow review. Yeah. Speaking of reviews, did anybody review that thing? Hold on, I gotta check something.
Ooh, that thing.
Nope. I guess I gotta do it.
Any other closing thoughts here, guys, before we wrap up the podcast for today? Any burning just things you gotta get off your chest?
Be safe for the holidays.
Be safe. Happy for those of us in the U.S. Enjoy your 4th of July weekend.
Don't burn anything down, but try to blow things up.
Yes.
Happy Canada Day, I believe.
Canada Day was today.
Was it today?
I think it's today.
Okay. Well, then happy Canada Day.
Happy Canada Day.
Thank you.
Across the wall. No, that's south.
Across the falls.
I'm thinking of Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm,
there you go.
The wild thing is up north.
Yeah. Sounds like Canada.
I'm sure they're enjoying our Texas heat up there.
Oh, yeah.
I saw some. You sent me that TikTok. It's like, you know, a while back when we left some of our weather down in
You're
the
welcome.
South for you guys.
We're sorry.
It's 40 degrees here. Can you please take your weather back? We're sorry.
Yeah.
So funny.
Well, guys, I think that about wraps up the cast for tonight. So if you like this podcast, make sure you visit MuleHornGaming.com and check out our podcast page to find more great podcasts like this one, the Bindu Podcast and the Halo Infinite Podcast. And if you're looking for ways to support the podcast, check out our description below for our Epic Creator Code, Amazon Store, swag, and more. And if you would, guys, like us on Facebook, leave us a review on iTunes. You can follow us all on Twitter. Remember, guys, when in doubt, blow it up!
Blow it up! Explosions!
Happy 4th of July.
Bang, bang, bang.
I should go.
Rad.
Boom.
That was for Lupo.
That was for Lupo. It's Lupo, man.
Pepper. Later, chat.